Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Right Owl Politics. This is Ariana Mendez coming to you from Miami, Florida. Wow, what a week. It's seemed to go by quick, but at the same time, emotionally draining. I think everybody's on edge. And it's 6:44 a.m. Friday after Election Day, and we still do not have a clear winner of the presidential race. Lawsuits everywhere. Latest news this morning is that Biden has taken a very slight lead over Trump in the great state of Georgia, historically a red-leaning state. So things are moving very slowly, and we're slowly getting a better idea of what's going on the state level. Arizona still has not finished counting, and Trump has made up ground there, so that's good news for the Trump campaign. And in Pennsylvania, although the lead is narrowing, Trump is still ahead of Biden. So Biden must be feeling good right now, but Trump is not going to go quietly into the night, and I think that's just a fact, and this will be taken to the courts and will be heavily litigated. We could be facing a situation where we're eating turkey this year and we still do not know who the next president is. So we shall see. So without further ado, let's get into the analysis. Morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. How are you?
Difficult question to answer.
I think for a lot of Americans, it's difficult to answer. I mean, we're all, I think everyone has election anxiety, stress over work, and had barely any sleep this week.
It's just been a weird week. I think I mentioned this to you prior to the show. It feels like a short week, but emotionally it just feels very draining and just a roller coaster.
No kidding. I mean, I barely got any sleep this week. I basically got 3 hours of sleep during election night, 5 sleep the night after. And then, of course, every single time I wait for some more results, every single time I look at that, Arizona still taking forever to report their precincts.
And now AP is reporting that Trump and Biden are statistically tied in Georgia.
That's impossible.
It's not. And Biden right now has a slight lead in the raw votes. Am I getting your, is this the first time you hear of this?
It's the first time I'm hearing of it. I was trying, okay. As I told you yesterday, I didn't want to hear any news.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Okay. So Georgia is still not done reporting. So maybe there's a possibility that Trump will come back and win that state by the hair of his chimmy chim chin. And Arizona is still not done counting votes. Nevada still not done. Pennsylvania, Trump is still leading, but Biden is gaining as the absentee ballots are counted. So it's a really dramatic situation that's happening right now. I think since 2000, we have not had anything similar to this as far as the level of discontent between both sides. One side arguing that there has been irregularities, even saying fraud, and that would be Trump's position. The president spoke last night from the White House and listed a list of different strange behaviors that had been observed at the polls in different states across the country, and did not seem to have any patience nor inclination to stand down at this time in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, but we all predicted that was going to happen, right? I mean,
yes, but the media, to a certain extent, I think they were trying to put extraordinary pressure. And I think that was the thought process by calling Arizona so early. That was going to put extraordinary pressure on Trump to eventually say, hey, there's not a pathway for victory for me. I'm not going to pursue this any further. I concede. And Trump has said he has no interest in doing that anytime soon.
No, and on top of that, and nor should he. It is in his right, and this goes to the other side too. It is within any party's right to ask for a recount, to basically sue the state based on negligence on counting the vote or negligence on voter information. Those things are all adequate things. We are live in common law society, and common law society allows you to sue. It also allows you to appeal. That is the process of which we live in. As far as you're right, it's been since 2000 since we've had a contested election the way that we had it now. If I had to compare this election, I'd probably compare it more towards the early 20th century. I want to say like the FDR election with Dewey, where you had paper saying Dewey won the election, and actually in reality he lost. The situation is that kind of method. There's a lot of anxiety in the air. There's a lot of anger out there. My heart goes out to Oregon. All those people, all innocent people in Oregon, anyway. Their state's a mess with the riots.
But I also want to talk about, let's put the presidential election aside. And no, liberals listening, it's not because I don't like what the results are going to be, but I also think going into this election, pollsters and pundits were predicting a giant blue wave. And not only in the presidential race, but in the House and in the Senate, where this is Friday already, and even though some races are too close to call, it looks like Republicans gain seats in the House, and it looks like Republicans will keep control of the Senate. The House is especially interesting here in Florida. We were able to flip two seats that had been lost to the Democrats, and in very historically blue-leaning districts here in South Florida. So it's a mixed bag, right? It's not a red wave. It's not a blue wave. It's a very tepid response from the electorate, you could say, and contradictory in certain respects. What's your thought process?
I think that the Democrats lost ultimately, in the sense that even if Biden wins, the Democrats lost. There will be no agenda to be had, in other words. Congress being controlled, at least the Senate being controlled by Republicans, and Republicans gaining House seats. And by the way, these House seat members that are gaining traction in Congress, they're not your typical Republicans, they're Trump Republicans. So you're not going to get any negotiation with them as far as any liberal agenda or any far-reaching legislation. So any hopes for a Biden-Harris election, presidential 4-year term that includes major reformation of society is not going to happen. It will not happen, and it will be a very, very tough road ahead for Biden to do anything legislatively.
I think it's absolutely correct to say that the mandate that the Biden has is not an overreaching one.
No, his mandate
And
is to
with
be
that,
nice. I keep telling people this. His mandate is to be nice.
but here's the thing, Trump loses this election. I would not say the movement goes away, and I definitely don't think Trump will go away. I think based on his attitude and the reports of irregularities of the polls, and if that turns out to actually have some legitimate truth to it, I think that Trump will make it his personal objective to make sure that Biden has an unsavory presidency to the same degree he had. Because with Trump, since the first day that he got inaugurated, it was Russia, 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 Russia. Then it was Ukraine, impeachment, everything they could throw at this man, they did. And I think Trump would try to repay it in twofold to Biden.
Sure, and he would be in his right to do so. And by the way, anyone who says, "Well, we just need to have presidents that just go away into the night," that's not a typical president. That president is kind of new to the stage, so to speak. Theodore Roosevelt was probably the most prominent active president in politics, even after his 8 years tenure as president. So it's not unheard of. And obviously, if Obama can rally for Biden, then Trump is going to rally for candidates on his side in the meantime, while he waits for another presidential run for 2024, if the situation goes to the hands of the Democrats if that is the situation. We don't know.
What do you think of the legal challenges? Do you think anything will come of that?
Well, I think that they're interesting. The problem is that it needs the legal challenges are much easier if they are within one state issue, if you know what I mean. 2000 was easier because Florida was the only state in question. If we go to the courts and we're saying, oh, well, we have four states in question, or even three states in question, or even two states in question, that becomes a harder line to defend on our side, I think.
I agree. I do think that there's a part of me that looks at the situation and says, this level of discord, because both sides are just irritable and very apprehensive. This level of discord is not good for the country. And I think it's going to be very hard to try to unify us. I know I'm speaking right now from a purely selfish perspective, but for 4 years, the left said Trump is not my president. And right now, I feel the same way about Biden if he were to be ultimately elected.
I take a little bit of a higher road on that one. Whoever is elected is the commander-in-chief. I respect the commander-in-chief. I will respectfully disagree with him, but I will respect the commander-in-chief. My issue is that Biden's mandate will be heavily destroyed, and I have already told everybody there will be no negotiation. There will be no, and I repeat, there will be no negotiation for any legislative bypass or any legislative reformation with Harris on the table. We refuse. I refuse. I will ask every Republican to refuse. There is no, it is not Biden I'm worried about. It is Harris. And I do not want anyone making any qualms about this. We are not going to negotiate with the Vice President of the United States, if that is indeed Harris.
Let me explain my position a little bit more. It's just, if indeed this fraudulent behavior did take place, don't you think that that's a stain on American democracy?
Oh, sure. I think that that's absolutely true. And I even said this to my own family members. If anything, this proves mail-in voting is completely not a viable option for elections and should completely be abolished from here henceforth. I understand that mail-in ballots was kind of necessary because of the fact that we had an unprecedented medical condition where people couldn't just go out and do public things, even though I disagree with that. But at the end of the day, we had to provide people a medium into which to vote, which that they felt safe in. And I understand there are certain good-hearted Americans who wanted that for the elderly. I think that now, especially now, that good intentions has really bitten us in the butt. And the issue is that mail-in ballots should be abolished. It should only be absentee ballots that should be available to the American public, but not, and for a reason, not simply because I just am too lazy to go to the polls.
Well, I actually think that we need to take a look at this. And is vote ballot canvassing a thing that should be legal? Should somebody be able to come up to a doorstep, and this has happened, not in Florida, that's not proper behavior in Florida, but in some of these Rust Belt states, come up to you, hand you a ballot. Is that proper behavior to allow in that ballot canvassing? Is it proper behavior to allow ballots that arrive after election day to be counted? Is it proper behavior to not require ID or any type of validation process before a vote is counted? So those are questions that moving forward, we need to have those debates and discussions. And it's not bad about voter suppression. It's about ensuring that our democracy is protected from nefarious action.
Oh, without question. And I think that that's going to be a heavy situation. And I totally understand that. And by the way, that's what the courts will have to decide. I think that at some point, the Supreme Court is going to have to weigh in on those questions, because obviously there is a big issue there. And the good news about the Supreme Court is that they've been recently voting towards the idea of a centralized voting method that provides, you know, some adequate measure of tenacity to the person who's voting. It's like, you can't just give someone a ballot. You cannot just simply say, no ID, no problem. You have to, states should be allowed to restrict the vote based on actual viable voters. If you're under the age of 18, you're not a viable voter. If you're dead, you're not a viable voter. If, you know what I mean? If you're not a legal citizen of the United States, you're not a valid voter. And those, and I don't understand why the left thinks that when we try to impose restrictions, and they're not restrictions, they're just measures to prove that those three things are correct. I don't understand how that's suppressing the vote. If anything, that's just trying to make the vote more honest.
Well, on contrary to the left, where they say let every vote count, my position is let every eligible vote count.
And my family, same thing. Every legal vote count. That is the law of the land. I mean, there's a certain level of that, but at the same time, we also have to understand that different states, different strokes for different folks. There are states that are more lenient on these rules. And it's up to the Supreme Court and the courts to mandate those states to fall in line what they consider federal law. So, I mean, in terms of that is concerned, I refuse to understand how Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona does it. And I feel like they should all come to Florida, figure out how we do it, and then match our system, because we have a pretty good foolproof system.
Oh, we had an impeccable election process here in Florida this year. It was actually beautiful. I was discussing it with some people at work, and we are the example for the nation to follow. And that's quite a 180 from 2000, right?
Well, I think 2000 taught us to make it impossible to to refute. I mean, our viewpoint was, we screwed up this badly. How can we never screw up again?
Yeah, we learned our lesson. What does this mean for the Republican Party? I definitely think that those never Trumpers out there that are secretly giddy at the prospect of President Trump losing this election, Trump voters are not going away, and the Republican Party of today is the Republican Party that can proudly claim 45% of Hispanics voted for President Trump this time around.
I think
that is an amazing number. You have Trump increases margins with Black Americans, with married women. That coalition that Trump has created is the winning formula for Republicans going forward. Going back to the formula of McCain and Romney will only set up a failure after failure after failure election prospect for Republicans.
I think that you're also looking at, and I agree with you, I mean, in the terms of the Republican coalition this time, we have never had more inroads with minority and other groups that would have never voted for our party before. So to suggest to me that a Republican that has garnered and gained access to other types of votes and only increased the electorate, lost an election, is kind of a little bit offsetting, especially when you consider that Biden is projected to get more votes than Obama, which is hilarious.
By the way, I'm sorry. Call me a conspiracy theorist, but I can't believe it. I wholeheartedly cannot believe that the most lackluster presidential candidate in our country's history has gotten more votes than Barack Obama. I'm sorry. Reasonable minds can disagree, and there's something in my brain that's going, no, that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry.
Well, I think you should look at in terms of... Now, the only reason why I would think that may be true is because we made it so damn easy to vote this year. I mean, mail-in voting has really changed the game for us. And unfortunately, it's really in our perspective. And the funny thing is that Republicans are the absentee voters. We tend to be more absentee than Democrats. It's this year that we decided that we needed to be in full force in person to vote this year. And to our detriment as well as to our benefit. I mean, that's why we had more momentum than the Democrats, and that's why we continue to have this election contested. Either way, this is not a blue wave. This is not a Democrat win. Again, I will repeat this, and I will, my prediction for the next 4 years, should a Biden...
Well, wait a minute. I call BS. A win is a win. So if they take the White House, they take
Yeah,
they take
but House, a win is... A win is only as good as what you're able to do when you win. And guess what? He's going to have a lot of hands tied behind him legislatively. I think that if you think...
Oh, but a hollow victory is still a victory.
Okay, so I won the best musician award, but hey, listen, we only gave it to you because you were the worst, but you were the worst, and we didn't know who else to choose. I mean, that's not exactly winning, is it?
No, but it puts Republicans out of the White House.
It puts Republicans out of the White House, but you got, I'm looking at the next five, I'm looking five steps ahead of me. And my viewpoint is, we give not one inch. We give not one inch. We basically use the Tea Party, I abhor the Tea Party when they did this, because I felt like we were not being compromisable.
Flexible.
Exactly. Now I feel like there will be no compromise, and I ask for no compromise. There will be, I will refuse, I want every Republican in Congress to know that they will have the backing of their state to say no to everything a Harris, any Harris-related legislation being introduced into this Congress is never going to pass. Now, as I said to my friend before I got onto this phone call yesterday, the issue with losing the White House is the different agencies that the White House controls. So you go from a business-friendly, less regulatory administration to what would become a heavily regulated, mask-oriented, very much OSHA thrived administration. And what is that going to cause to the American entrepreneur? Is that the American entrepreneur is just going to say, I can't afford everything that they're going to tell me to do, and also I can't put my employees in a position where they can't do what they need to do to get the work done. So what am I going to do? Close up shop or lay off as many people as possible to reduce the amount of expenditures that you're going to have with a Biden-Harris administration.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I understand what you're saying intellectually, politically, I understand that. But I think that it's a hard pill to swallow, especially if there's significant data or facts that would indicate that there was voter impropriety.
If there's any voter impropriety, that's going to have to be dealt with the courts. And again, this is just the beginning. There's still a very good chance that Trump will be president. And by the way, I'm not suggesting otherwise, but we also have to be realistic and understand that there's a possibility for a Biden presidency. And we need, as a party, to talk together and say, what is our strategy moving forward should that happen? We need a plan B. But plan A is full force and full support, right? So we're going to make sure that we will fight tooth and nail in the courts for every vote to be counted, every legal vote to be counted correctly. So that way we don't have any kind of situation where we feel like we've been defeated simply because the Democrats decided that they were going to cheat the election. So I absolutely agree with you. There are no surrenders anytime soon. I mean, and quite frankly, I think this is going to go into the mid-December with all the lawsuits. And I'm just reading now. I think that the judge just ruled for the Trump campaign, granting better representation, the Trump campaign representative to have a better view of the Philadelphia vote count. So it's already, the courts are already making, are already hearing arguments, and they're already making judgments.
We'll see. I don't think this is over, even if one of the big news organizations calls the race. Trump will not go quietly into the night.
No, nor should he be expected to. That's not how this works. Again, we live in a common law country where you're able to appeal, you're able to sue. That is part of the entire process.
Well, I do want to send a big congratulations to this Mitch McConnell, who retained his seat.
He won with a landslide, from what I saw.
Senate. Yes. Lindsey Graham. Big congratulations to Lindsey Graham. Maria Rita Salazar here in South Florida was able to flip the
Thank
seat
God.
From Donna Shalala. Yes. This one, I don't know how to feel, but okay, he's a Republican, so I'll celebrate it. But Jimenez was also able to flip a seat from the Democrat here in the South Florida area. For our national listeners, Jimenez, Carlos Jimenez is the current mayor of Miami-Dade County, who has faced a lot of criticism due to his approach on handling the pandemic in Miami-Dade County. But he won the congressional seat and flipped it from blue to red this cycle.
And, you know, I have a lot of disagreements with Jimenez, you know, my consternation over him. But at least, again, it's still another conservative vote out there in Congress. I'm happy to have any conservative now at this point in Congress.
Oh, yeah. And hey, this year was the year of the
exactly.
Republican woman.
And the Republican
it
minority.
Really
I
was.
Think the first gay black congressman is now elected.
Right.
And I think he's also gay. I'm not sure. I have to look that one up. But I think that was a headline that I read. So you're seeing a lot of interesting minorities gaining control of the Republican Party, and their viewpoint is they don't want anything paid for them either. They want to work for it, and they just want to have people to have access to work towards prosperity versus.
But again, the brand they bought into is not the watered down brand of McCain and Romney. It
Correct.
Is the Trump brand. So I think that party leaders need to take note of that and also stand by their president. If this needs to be a drawn out legal process, stand by your president. Do not be wusses and stand down because of political pressure or, oh, well, we got our margins that we wanted. We're comfortable enough. Let's move on from the presidential race. No, stand by your president. Because the base.
Yeah,
is
I don't think
up.
That that's going to be an issue, honestly. I think that, again.
I don't know. I remember Republicans are not as good as the Democrats with the whole rank and file thing.
I agree. But I also think that we're securely united when it comes to times of crisis. So I think that we're in a crisis mode right now. And I don't see any major headlines where Republicans are standing down. So we're still good. McConnell still is lending his support to the president for any judicial proceedings moving forward.
Fair enough. I know we talked about whoever got closer to the electoral tabulation, to the final electoral tabulation, owed the other a bottle of wine. Doesn't seem like we're going
no,
to be
vodka is
close
necessary.
At all. I was gonna say, how about a big tub of ice cream? I can, yeah. But we'll see, Carlos, where this heads. It's definitely been an interesting cycle. There is a possibility we could be eating turkey. And
that
we
is correct.
Don't know who the
and
president is.
I mean, 2000, it took till the first week of December. This one, I think, is going to take all the way to like 15th of December just to figure out what all happened.
Yeah. So we shall see, never a dull moment in U.S. politics, but the world is watching. So I hope we do what's right. All
Thank
right,
you
Carlos,
for having
thanks
me.
For being on the show,
talk to you
and
soon.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Yeah, anytime. Guys, thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Carlos, for being on the show again. It's always great to have you. Well, here's the thing. Regardless of what happens, and I'm going to speak to my Republican friends right now, I think it was a good year for Republicans. We've made tremendous inroads with minorities. Trump has achieved the highest level of Hispanic support in Republican history. We've made amazing inroads with married women. We've made amazing inroads with blacks. And that is something to celebrate. This is the year of the Republican woman. We're welcoming so many new women to the U.S. Congress, and they have an R at the end of their name, and that's something to celebrate. The presidential election, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sitting here and trying to analyze it, and there's not a clear prediction I can make. I think pollsters were wrong, pundits were wrong on both sides. The phenomenon of COVID, the phenomenon of mass mail-in voting has truly changed the dynamics of an otherwise predictable race. So we shall see. Trump will not go quietly into the night, and that is something that people need to accept. And I hope Republicans stand by their president. He has fought long and hard for the American people. he at least deserves the courtesy to be able to take his case to the courts and have his day in court. So we shall see. With that said, as an American, we will get through this, whatever the result may be. And hey, 4 years is not that far away. And 4 years is a long time. So we shall see where we go. But I have faith in the American people. I have faith in our system of government. And we shall persevere and we shall get through this. So thank you for listening, guys. Remember, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, and catch up on all our latest episodes. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for giving me a few minutes of your day. I appreciate your support, and thank you for continuing to listen to Right Owl Politics. Guys, I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.